another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went.
Hi, this is Jack Spirko. Welcome to another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world and changing economic times and the things that you can do to live a better life. Times get tough, or even if they don't, as always, dictated on a 50-mile commute between Arlington and Frisco, Texas. You got me in the afternoon today, folks, so I'll probably be publishing this podcast very early the next day. We've had a cool front hit the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We're down to just 100 degrees today. And that's because we've got some cloud cover that moved in from the remnants of Hurricane Dolly, which kind of made a big U-turn after taking a big dump on South Texas, came around and is currently dropping a massive amount of rain on the Midwest, and hopefully it won't flood those people and create too many emergencies up there. But it's just not yet another thing to be prepared for is weather emergencies. Today's podcast is kind of a continuation of what we did earlier in the week. We did a podcast earlier in the week on preparing the 72-hour emergency kit, or the bug-out bag, as it's commonly known. And I'm going to talk today about additional things that maybe you keep in your vehicle for emergency preparedness that maybe you wouldn't carry in a bug-out bag simply because of weight limitations or size constraints or things like that. Now, if you didn't hear the other podcast, as I start going through some of the things you might want to keep in your vehicle, you might be going, man, this guy's leaving everything out. He didn't even say a first aid kit or a good knife or, what kind of survival planning is this? If you're thinking that way, please go listen to the 72-hour kit podcast that was just a couple days earlier. It's available at thesurvivalpodcast.com. I'll kind of fill those blanks in for you because I'm not going to, be redundant. And that was about a 40-minute podcast listing all the different things that I see going into a 72-hour kit. So I'm going to try to keep the redundancy down. Before I do that, though, I want to, I always try to throw some stuff in about the economy. Just keep people situationally aware about what's going on out there. In the oil market, we have a little bit of good news. Right now, some of the major investors are actually holding short positions in the oil market for the first time this year. That means the speculators are actually speculating on a further drop in oil prices. Of course, at the price they're at, even if they drop, let's say, $10 to $15 more a bottle, you're still going to be paying $3.60, $3.70 a gallon for gas. So that's better than $4.05, but, the economy still doesn't run well at that. And I don't know how long we're going to see that position in place. A lot of it seems to be over the pressure to drill offshore that Bush is bringing in. But we all know that's not going to have any real impact on the market for a minimum, best case blue sky scenario of 5 years, more likely 10 to 15. So I don't really think we're going to have too many parties over that. But it is a little bit of good news. On the bad news front, which there always just seems to be more of, I just read a post today in the Frugal Squirrels Forum, which is a pretty cool forum. Unfortunately, you can't read any of it until you register and get approved, but it's at Frugal Squirrels, the Frugal Squirrel website, and I'll put a link to it from this podcast if you want to check that place out. Seems pretty cool, and I found it because somebody mentioned our podcast there, and I tracked back to it. Anyway, I heard there today that Bennigan's has gone bankrupt along with Steak and Ale. They're owned by the same company. And all the corporate-owned Bennigan's and Steak and Ale locations across the United States were closed today when people tried to go to eat there. When Bennigan's is shutting down, that's not good news for the economy. A little bit more on that. I just heard on the radio before I started broadcasting today that two local cities, one is Dallas itself, is cutting its budget by $6 million. I don't remember the other city, but it's having to cut its budget by about $3 million. Both of those cities are going to be laying people off. And remember, folks, we got it pretty good here in DFW. So that's, when you start seeing city governments in shortfalls, it tells you we're having some rough times at home. So it all behooves us to be prepared. And that'll take us into today's topic, which again is that equipping your vehicle beyond the bug-out bag is what I'm calling this podcast. So again, if you don't hear certain things, maybe go listen to the other podcast. And if you don't hear it in either one, or even if you don't hear in this one, you think it belongs in the vehicle, not just in a 72-hour kit bag, go ahead and post in the comments, make your suggestions. This is a collaborative effort. We're all working together to help each other learn from each other's plans and strategies. So kind of the first thing I think that you should really have in your vehicle, beyond, you know, the stuff that you carry in that 72-hour emergency bag, which, as I said in that podcast, is meant to be in your vehicle and help you get by with an evacuation with your vehicle, but it's also designed, you know, to take off on foot. So having a complete toolkit, beyond the little basic toolkit from the bug-out bag, is kind of impractical. You know, you might be talking 20 to 30 pounds of tools with a really full, complete toolkit. I think it makes sense to keep one of those in every vehicle you own, even if it's just buying a pretty good one of those, you know, snap close ratchet screwdriver, everything sets that you can get for 20 or 30 bucks at Walmart, or maybe even the better ones that are run up in the $50 range, or putting your own together. But one way or another, it's just you have a really good full toolkit in each vehicle. They really can go a long way towards saving you some real grief on the road. The next thing I really think you need to think about, that you keep in a vehicle beyond your bug-out bag, is an additional reserve food supply. You know, heaven forbid someday that you don't put the bag in the vehicle when you've taken it out for one reason or another, and you end up stranded somewhere with no food whatsoever. It's kind of a good backup. But if you ended up stuck somewhere where you're staying with your vehicle instead of moving out on foot, it could conceivably be a lot more than a three-day period that you end up stuck there. So just having more food in your vehicle, and, you know, if you ended up in a really bad situation, more is always better, and you might choose to unload some of the things from your pack and take the additional food depending on your individual situation, so it gives you more options. And I believe that anything that gives you more options in a survival situation is better than not having more options. So that's a real good idea. Something I did mention in the other podcast, but I'm going to re-mention here because I think it's very, very important, is a reserve fuel supply. I've heard people tell me they don't like to carry fuel in their vehicles, additional fuel like in a can, because of the fire risk. I look at it this way. I'm driving this little Jetta right now. I've got about 13 gallons of diesel fuel under my butt in the tank. An additional couple gallons of it isn't that much more of a risk carried in the appropriate and proper container, properly stowed. But that is an individual decision that you have to make. I just like you to think about, you know, when you're comparing your risk, I'm about to drive through a part of South Dallas here in about 15 minutes. Where just a few weeks ago, someone who was broken down on the side of the road waiting for help was shot and robbed. Fortunately, that person lived, but again, they were shot and robbed. Now, if I end up broken down there and you come try to rob me, you may be the one to end up with a bullet in you, but I'd really prefer to avoid the situation altogether and not end up stuck there and having to walk through that particular part of town to get gas if that happens to be where I run out of fuel. And the thing about running out of fuel is, you don't plan to run out of fuel, so you don't get to plan where it happens. So the extra fuel may save you from being stuck somewhere that's more dangerous than carrying the extra fuel. My general rule for extra fuel in any vehicle is 100 miles of fuel. I do not like to think in gallons, because when you think in gallons, all things are not equal. In other words, 2.5 gallons of fuel, a little 2.5 gallon can of diesel fuel for my Jetta, takes my Jetta 100 miles. It only takes my truck, oh, what about 40 miles, 42, 43 miles. So I carry about 5 to 6 gallons of gasoline for my truck to get that 100-mile range. So I really encourage you to think in mileage. And a standard fuel reserve for me is 100 miles. That'll usually get you wherever you need to go. It's important to rotate your fuel. Every time I fill up, I take that can of fuel that's reserved, and I dump it in the tank, and I replace it. That way I always keep it rotating, and I'm still putting the same amount in my vehicle as if I weren't doing it. So minus the initial extra cost of 2.5 gallons for one, 5 gallons for the other of fuel, there's no real additional cost to do that. So it's a nice little insurance policy that gives you an extra 100 miles of range if I ever end up in any kind of emergency situation. I also think reserve fuel is something that maybe fluctuates. If times start to look like, let's say, your own personally, I mean, it is stupid national terrorist alert, orange and yellow and whatever. I mean, we don't really know what those colors mean and nobody pays attention to them. But if your personal alert, you know, you're starting to look around and you're a little more concerned than normal, goes up a notch or two, you may decide to increase your reserves for a while and put in an extra 100 miles and to go up to 200 miles. Personal choice, but it is something to think about and something to consider when times start to maybe look a little less safe. And I think sometimes when big problems are coming, we'll tend to have the hackles go up on our back a little bit, and we'll know to adjust for them. Another thing I believe you really need to have is road flares. You end up just in a wreck. I mean, it's just good common sense to have road flares, and in a survival situation, they're a good fire starting aid and a good signaling aid, and they're just something you really, I don't think, can afford to be without, as cheap as they are to have in your vehicle kit. I also think you should have reserve water. Now, again, I talked about this with the bug out bag, but like I said, humping 5 to 10 gallons of water with you on the road is not very practical. Well, many vehicles carrying a 5-gallon water can would be easy to do, and if you ended up stuck with your vehicle or on the road for an extended period of time for some reason, that extra water would be quite beneficial and useful to you. So those are kind of the reserve fuel and water rules that I have. I also believe that you should obviously have some jumper cables. I don't know how many times I've seen people broke down somewhere that believe their battery's dead, they don't have any jumper cables, and I've used my jumper cables to get them on down the road. I think, you know, somebody might have been willing to help you, but, you know, they didn't have them either. So it's something, you know, you could get a nice set of jumper cables for under $10. Not having those, just to me, there's no excuse. To me, if you own a vehicle, you should have jumper cables in them. It's just kind of a real mistake not to. Another thing that I think you really need to have are either tire chains or some other type of traction aid, if there's just some plates that you can lay down, or even if there's just some studded boards that you can lay down if you ever get stuck somewhere. I drive a four-wheel drive truck as my other vehicle. I'm not too worried about that getting stuck, but even that vehicle could get stuck. And having that type of alternative would really be very useful in many situations. It's something I don't hear a lot of people talk about in survival planning, but either tire change or traction boards are a great addition to your vehicle, and they're something that you can whip together yourself pretty low cost if you don't want to buy them, so I think they're really a good idea. Another thing, nylon tow straps. Which these are these, they're for towing vehicles, but instead of a big, heavy, bulky chain, they're made out of ballistic nylon that is very, very strong compared to its weight. And it's another one of those multiple-use things. It's something that you might even grab and take with you if you went on foot, because there's so many different things you could do with a good, strong nylon strap with a couple hooks on it. But yet, if you needed to be towed somewhere or pulled out of a ditch or help somebody else recover a vehicle, you would have the ability to do so with them. And those are quite inexpensive as well. The next thing I really think you should keep in a vehicle, especially if you live in cold weather environments, are some chemical heating pads, hand warmers, foot warmers. You would probably want to keep these in your bug-out bag. I didn't mention them, primarily because I don't really think that way very much down here in Texas. Even in the middle of winter, it doesn't usually get frigid cold where frostbite's a concern. But those are a good idea to have. Maybe you keep some in your bug-out bag. Maybe you also keep some additional ones, maybe some of the larger-sized ones in your vehicle. Those are pretty cool. Salt is another thing that if you're in cold weather environments, it might be cool to, especially if you have like a pickup truck with lock boxes or anything, keep just a bag of rock salt to melt ice and get out of a situation where you're stuck. That's kind of a personal thing. It's really more of a northern thing again, but it is something to consider. Have a shovel in your vehicle. I mentioned having an e-tool or a collapsible shovel with your bug-out bag. You might have a second shovel or just have a shovel if you go either way. But having a shovel in your vehicle is a real advantage in many situations. Again, you never know what's going to happen. You never know what kind of situation you're going to get into. Being able to move some earth once in a while is a big saving grace. I remember one time when I was a kid, a buddy of mine had bought a new Jeep, and we were driving around back in the woods, and he went up over this rock pile. And we ended up teeter-tottering at the top of the rock pile. Fortunately, he had a shovel in the back of the Jeep. It only took us probably about 10 minutes to dig the pile down enough to get the Jeep loose and get it free. And without that shovel, we would have been in a real world of hurt. So that's just one example. I know maybe not everybody's going off-roading, but a shovel is just a great tool. It has multiple purposes. It can even be used for defense if necessary. The next thing I think you should have in your vehicle are evacuation plans and routes that you've already planned. If I'm stuck here, I'll go there. If I'm stuck this place, I'll go that place. And if you have a family with multiple vehicles, those same plans should be in all vehicles. And I think you should label your plans, and I do not think that's going too far. You know, you should have evacuation route A, B, C, D, and E. and that would make it simple when you know, if something really goes wrong, and your wife's at work, and she's going to grab the kids and meet you somewhere, you're going to take evacuation route D, and you're going to meet at coordinate whatever. There is a tremendous amount of confidence and self-assurance that comes when you have a plan like that. It keeps your head cool, and it keeps you thinking the right way, and that is the biggest thing you can do to make it through most survival situations. It's stay level-headed and logical, and that plan is such a huge part of that, and it makes sure that the two of you end up at the same place so you can put the family back together and move on with your planning. So I do think that you should have that documentation in your vehicle, and I mentioned maps in the bug-out bag. I think you should keep them in the vehicle as well, a second set. That way, I mean, let's consider this. You have your maps with you, you go off on foot. As I said before, a lot of times people think in a survival situation you're going to want to hide, and you might, or disappear, or blend in. There could be times where if you got stuck somewhere remote, you actually want to be found. Now, if you had a map in your vehicle and a map on your person, you could actually draw the route that you're going to take on the map you leave with your vehicle. And should rescuers find your vehicle before they find your person, they could use that map to track the way you're going and help them find you. So it gives you additional options. Also, if you ever had to ditch a vehicle somewhere and let a relative know where it is, you could leave them instructions then how to get to where you are. So there's a lot of advantages to having maps both in your vehicle and on your person. So I recommend that if you're going to keep maps in your bug-out bag, you also keep a matching set in all of your vehicles and have the documentation, again, for your primary, secondary, and tertiary means of evacuation for different ways in and out of your city and to get to different objectives, be they just getting home or be they going to a bug-out location or a secondary location or maybe a relative's location. Those are just really good things to do, and they don't really take a lot of effort or a lot of money, so it makes sense to get them done. You know, on that same note, you really want to make sure you keep a book or a notebook with contact names, numbers, addresses of key people that you would want to get in touch with in the event of an emergency. You can't depend on the fact that your cell phone would work. And if you're like me, I'm doing this podcast off the top of my head, just the things I keep or things that I think really, maybe if I haven't gotten them done yet, I think need to be done. And I'm pretty good with a memory like that, but I can't tell you anybody's phone number. I can barely tell you my own because I've become so dependent on my cell phone. So having a document with everybody's phone number and contact information in your vehicle makes a lot of sense. So that if your cell phone fails and you have to rely on a backup means, like a phone card or a phone booth, or maybe you have a backup phone, like a prepaid phone that you keep in case something happens to your primary cell phone, you have a way to get in touch with those people and let them know what's going on, where you are, and what they should do in response to what you have done. I think the other thing that really makes sense on that same note is having a backup cell phone. You pick up a couple of these little Go phones or something like that with some type of a charger, maybe get 500 prepaid minutes for both of them and never use them unless there's an emergency. Keep them in your vehicle and make sure that they're there and available if you need to get in touch with somebody. And speaking of cell phones, I had to pause the recording and take a call right there. One of my guys left his keys in my car, so I'll be giving him a ride to work in the morning. This is a mobile rolling podcast, and sometimes real-world things happen. There's just one more example. Now, what I think I was talking about there was having the backup prepaid cell phones. I think it makes sense to have one in each vehicle. Some people would consider that overkill, but it really, to me, is not. A backup means of communication. I've seen some of these two-way radios now that are supposed to have ranges of up to 30 miles. I question that, but I'm going to look into a set of radios like that to keep in each vehicle. That way, if we ever had lost cell phone communications in a major emergency, it's not likely that the cell phones are going to be very reliable. If you remember on 9/11, in a lot of instances, and I was in the Northeast myself, actually traveling to Pittsburgh on 9/11, and it took me several hours to be able to get through to my wife in the other part of Pennsylvania on a cell phone, just because so many people were making phone calls and checked on loved ones. So direct two-way radio communication would be a great backup. That was something I really hadn't thought about until a couple days ago. I was walking through a sports sporting goods store and happen to know a set of radios like that. So that's something else to consider. The next thing I think that maybe makes sense, and this is going to go into some practical things right now that people don't really consider part of survival planning, but I mean, come on, these are easy things to do. I have a AAA membership, pay for itself many times over. My son had a vehicle that he bought new that had, so it was kind of a lemon, had it towed 3 times in a couple months, and that paid for the AAA membership. So a AAA membership could just get you out of some situations you'd prefer not to be in, so that's something else to think about. Another thing that's really kind of easy to overlook is just keeping a freaking flashlight. And I think what really makes sense to keep in your vehicle, because you keep your flashlights and any LED lighting in your bug out bag, is to get one of those lanterns. And even the ones that are just battery operated, I've got one that I've been using for like 2 years and it hasn't killed the 4D batteries in it yet. And they also make those now that are the wind-up kind. So the LED lanterns, if you have to work on a car in the dark, instead of trying to hold a flashlight, being able to set a lantern down, I think makes a lot of sense. Another really practical thing that's just for day-to-day use that I think a lot of people don't really think about, it's just maybe getting a set of belts and hoses for your vehicle. Your top and bottom radiator hose, any other hoses that are on your vehicle, and so a lot of people have the one serpentine belt or multiple drive belts, whatever they are. Those should be replaced about every 50 to 60,000 miles. You're going to buy them anyway. So my advice is buy them, keep them in your vehicle. When it's time to have them serviced, if you do the work yourself, go ahead and do it. But even if you have somebody else do it, just go ahead and buy a new set at that time so you'll always have a backup set. A blown radiator hose, you're done. You can't drive like that. And a hose is something that even the least mechanically inclined person, if you know how to work a screwdriver, you can change a radiator hose. Now, you got to be careful you don't burn yourself, what have you, and you need water, so you carry that extra water. But that's something that's so easy to do, and most radiator hoses are very, very expensive. So at least a set of hoses is something I recommend that you have in your vehicle. The belts, if you don't have the mechanical ability to replace them yourself, doesn't really make a lot of sense to carry them, I guess. But, somebody may even come, sometimes you can depend on the kindness of strangers. And the fact that you had one, somebody might be able to help you put it on. So, I mean, what is it? Fan belt's not very expensive, so that's something really to consider. Like I said, you should be having them replaced anyways. You're just buying them now instead of later. Another thing I think that makes a lot of sense is to carry an air compressor. The little ones that plug into your cigarette lighter, they're not very expensive. Just so you can pump up a tire that's low on air, maybe make it to a place where you can get a repair done. Or if your tire's really low on air, but you're in a bad place to change your tire, put your spare on, at least you can air your tire up enough to drive somewhere a little more convenient, a little more safe to do that change. Again, those are inexpensive to make a lot of sense. At minimum, you should have a good foot pump or something like that. But the compressors are just so much better. It really makes a lot of sense to have those. On that note, the other thing that I really think you should carry in your vehicle is a tire plug kit. These aren't patches. If you're not familiar with how to do a tire plug, you could go on Google and search for how to plug a tire. And you can find the kits and how to do it, but it's really easy. In most instances, you can plug a tire without removing it from the vehicle, and if you have that air compressor, you can get right on back down the road. It's not a long-term repair solution, but it is a good spot repair, and it'll get you out of trouble. Nothing wrong with a can of Fix-A-Flat. I keep a can of Fix-A-Flat in all my vehicles. If you need a very expedient, quick, it's not a great repair job, but it'll get you out of the situation. A lot of times it's the fastest, quickest way to at least get enough air in the tire that's going to stay in the tire to get you from where you are to someplace that's even just more convenient to change out and put your spare on. That note, folks, make sure there's air in your spare tire. Check the pressure of your tires, get a little tire gauge, keep that in your car, and check whenever maybe once a week when you fill up gas, check your tire pressure and check the pressure in your spare tire, and if it needs air, add air to it. If it's got a leak, figure out why. It sucks to have a flat and then realize your spare is flat, and I've seen it happen to people, so that's something else to do. I want to talk a little bit now about firearms. Whenever bug-out vehicles, bug-out bags, survival planning, firearms always come up. I have a little bit of concern for some people and in some areas to keep a gun in the vehicle. Vehicles tend to get broken into and stolen. I think you have a real responsibility to try to avoid that at all costs. If you're going to keep a gun in your vehicle, I'm not going to fault you for it. As long as where you live, it's legal. It happens to be legal here. You have to check local laws with anything to do with firearms because I don't know your laws. And you have to be responsible and you have to follow the law. But if you're going to have a gun in a vehicle, it makes sense to me, if you're going to keep something like a carbine or a rifle, have something to brace down and be able to secure it in a way that's very difficult to find and separate the ammunition from it. If you carry a handgun with a concealed carry permit, to me, your gun belongs on your person, not in your vehicle, unless you're in a situation where you have to keep it there. If I leave a gun in my vehicle unattended, it is unloaded, it is secured in one location, the ammo is secured in another. I won't say exactly where, just in case any of you is casing one of my vehicles to steal from and listen to this show, but you know, there's just a responsibility when you leave a gun in a vehicle to make sure that, one, you're legal, and two, you do it safely. So just really consider that with you know, carrying guns in your vehicle. Now, if you're deploying an evacuation from home, like you decide, I got to get out of here, then obviously you take your gun or your guns with you. In most of our cases, I think it would be pluralized. But what I'm talking about is day-to-day, driving to and from work, driving to and from the market, having a rifle in your vehicle is a liability, and you really need to consider whether that's something you want to do or not. So I tell people also to focus on other forms of self-defense beyond just knowing how to fight and defend yourself, you know, maybe taking martial arts or something, because if somebody's stronger than you or better than you, then fighting them is generally not the greatest option in the world. And to me, the best form of defense is to convince somebody that really you're not the person to mess with and that they'd be better off bothering somebody else. And there are certain things that can be used for intimidation to do that, or if they need to be deployed, are very effective and require very little training and generally are not lethal solutions if you don't want them to be. And of those, I think one of the best things that you can carry is pepper spray. And as I go into these, I want to point out something else. Even if you carry a concealed weapon, even if you carry a carbine, even if you're well-armed, you're trained, you have you know, whatever permits you need to be able to carry, understand, and I mentioned this in the other podcast, that when Hurricane Katrina hit, that the cops and the military went in and seized weapons from law-abiding people and took away their guns. And these people were put in a situation where they had no choice. They had to give up their guns. And it's sad that that could happen, but it could happen. So to me, you could end up in that situation. I hope it doesn't happen, but it could. And if it does, now you're defenseless. So having these other means, in addition to your firearms, if they're taken away from you by authorities, you still have a means of defense. One of the best ones, and you know, you're just not going to see it as being seized, I don't think. I don't think we've gone that far down the martial law road yet anyway, is pepper spray. Pepper spray or mace. I think it makes a good, it's a good choice. I like the ones that are kind of like a foam or a gel that stick to the other person. Those are very easy to deploy. They're less likely to be blown into you by the wind and more accurately deployed. I think it makes sense to carry kind of a larger size of these things instead of these little tiny, small, compact ones. If you've ever watched a show called Dog the Bounty Hunter, it's actually what he carries instead of a firearm. And he carries a fairly large canister with a handle, and he deploys it exactly like you would a handgun. And it's got a good range to it, and I'll tell you what. It is a deterrent. It's something that sucks. I've been in part of my military training exposed to both pepper gas and CS gas, and both of those suck real bad. And they do have a very incapacitating effect on, I'd say, 99% of people, so it's a good option. I also want to let people know that there is something called pepper spray decontaminant that's kind of an antidote. I think it makes sense to carry that as well. If you do happen to get overspray or some of it on yourself after you've extricated yourself from the situation, you can use it to treat yourself. And it is a real risk, and it often happens that when you use pepper spray, while the other guy may get it worse, you tend to get some on yourself, and or at least get it on your hands, and then when you touch your face, you create problems. So get some of the decontaminant for it as well, and that's available online. Maybe I'll provide a link to that. Here's some other methods of defense that you can carry besides a firearm. One is a stun gun or a taser. I've seen some that look like cell phones. That may be a good device to carry in a, you know, kind of the shit's hit the fan scenario where people from the government are seizing weapons because it's less likely to be seized because they may go ahead and start seizing things like stun guns too. Who knows? I've also seen a pretty cool little device recently. It was a ring that deployed tear gas, or not tear gas, but like mace or pepper spray. And maybe I'll provide a link to that. And that seemed like a cool little idea and a way to conceal that. Some other basic defense mechanisms. There's a thing called a tire billy. This basically looks like a little baseball bat, but it's very heavy, dense. Truckers use it to check the tires, like when they have these dualies where you can't really tell a tire's flat. They just use it to club all of their tires. Very good defensive weapon, and it's something that's not generally considered a weapon, especially if you happen to drive a truck. Keeping one of those under or behind the seat may be a good thing as well. And there's nothing wrong with a good old solid 4D cell or 6D cell mag light. I've talked to plenty of law enforcement officers that tell me if you need to club somebody with something, a mag light will get the job done real quick, as well as a baton. And again, Maglite is generally not considered a weapon, so it's not something that's likely to be seized from you. So those are some weapons that if you ended up in a kind of martial law situation, something major happens where the government goes around taking things away, they wouldn't leave you defenseless. And for the people that don't want to carry a weapon or don't have the option to carry, you know, a handgun or a gun because of where you live, or because you simply aren't comfortable having a lethal weapon, those are some other options for you. Another thing that I think makes a lot of sense to carry in a vehicle is a good tent. You just don't know where you're going to end up. I mentioned having a small backpacking tent for your bug out bag, and that's something you may or may not choose to make part of your backpack. But having maybe a bigger tent or just a tent if you don't carry one with your backpack in your vehicle makes a lot of sense. Who knows when you'll end up having to camp out extended times. And you can get a pretty nice, like, 4 to 6 man dome tent for about $50 at your local Walmart or similar store. So that's another thing. You may also want to carry, like, blankets and sleeping bags in your vehicle, because they'll give you additional warmth if you end up somewhere cold, additional comfort if you have to sleep. It might be too bulky to carry in your bag, but there's no reason you can't make room for maybe even just a couple good old army wool blankets in your vehicle. So those are kind of the main things that I think belong in a vehicle. Again, this is not considered the end-all be-all list. It's just kind of my list of things that I carry in addition to that bug-out bag. And I want to talk about a few other things. But again, if you're not hearing something here that you would carry, please chime in the comments section. Let us know what you would carry. Going on from there, kind of the forgotten stuff that most people just don't seem to talk about when this topic comes up is, number one, just keep your maintenance up to date. You know, change your oil. Make sure that your services are done on your vehicle. Make sure your vehicle's in good repair. That's going to go a long way to making sure that you have less emergencies that are individual in nature just because you've broken down somewhere, or that if you end up in a real emergency, your vehicle's not something you have to worry about being there for you. Then here's a big one, and I should have put this in the bug-out bag one, because this belongs in everybody's vehicle, with everybody's pack, with everybody's everything, when you're like going to and from work or going to and from the market, where you could always end up in a bad situation. And that is extra shoes or boots. Especially for women. I go out day to day and I'm amazed how many women wear flip-flops, open-toed shoes, sandals, things like that. And I think, you know, what if you had to just walk 10 miles? How practical are those shoes for that? Or if you had to walk through a field or through the woods, how practical are those shoes for that? And then men, I mean, I wear, business casual dress to work every day, so I wear dress shoes. And they're fine, they're far more practical than a pair of flip-flops or something like that. But, boy, I wouldn't want to make a 50-mile hike in them, or even a 20-mile hike in them through woods and fields and things like that. So I do keep an extra set of shoes in the vehicle, and you probably would want to do that as well. The next thing is, forget camouflage, all right? Forget anything camo, forget anything paramilitary, forget anything that looks like real survival gear for your bug-out bag and for your vehicle. You do not want to stand out in a crowd. Somebody commented about this in the other podcast, and it was something I wanted to mention, but it just ended up going 40 minutes long, and I just didn't get it in there. When you're on the road and you're trying to get to somewhere safe during a situation where other people may be taking an opportunistic view of people that are prepared, you want to look completely unprepared, but be totally prepared. You keep your head down. You want some. You want your backpack to look like something that a hitchhiker had, where if somebody sees you walking along with that, they don't even think you're responding to the problem. You're just some drifter that's caught in the middle of it. That's the best way you can look. You're most likely to be left alone. You're most likely to be left alone by both authorities and by maybe a mob or somebody like that, because you're just somebody that's not worth messing with. You don't really have anything. You don't want to look in these situations like the prepared militant, because it's going to make you a target of both groups. So, you know, again, keep your head down and forget the camo. And the rule is look unprepared, but be prepared at the same time. And that's some additional nice to have. Just some things I thought I'd throw in at the end that maybe aren't necessary, but they wouldn't be bad things to have. A camp stove or a portable grill with fuel. That would be really good to have in your vehicle, something to keep there. Especially maybe one of those things that maybe you don't keep it all the time, but if the threat level starts to increase, if you're starting to really consider that you may have a real problem. Additional food supplies, as I mentioned before. Anything that you can do to have some additional food stored around and keeping some of your vehicle. There's nothing that says if you need it, you can't go out to your vehicle and get it, but if you're with your vehicle away from home, you might not be able to get to your home to get it. So that's something else to consider. And then with battery, you know, I mentioned jumper cables, but there's these, now they have these like solar-powered battery chargers that you hook up to a battery, and you put a little solar panel on your roof, and it takes several hours, but it generally gives you enough charge to get a vehicle started. So even if you were completely alone, you have a backup power source to get your vehicle started if you end up with a dead vehicle. Those are some additional cool things. So again, before you go, man, there's so many things this guy left out. Again, you might want to listen to the other podcast and know those things are there. But if you listen to both of them, you can think of some things that either you keep in your vehicle or you think makes sense to keep in a vehicle. Go ahead and chime on in. Also, remember our listener appreciation contest. You can win a free iPod Nano. Just go to the survivalpodcast.com and click on listener appreciation contest. You can get details about the contest there. Again, I hope this has been a good podcast. I've been asked to do more on actual practical preparedness, so hopefully that fills the bill for you. And remember, we're here to help you live a better life if times get tough, or even if you don't. I've got some more cool podcasts coming down soon, so make sure you tune in every day. And the best way to stay in touch with us is to get on our instant notification list. If you go to the Survival Podcast, there's a simple form there. Give us your name, your email, tell us how you originally found us. And every time there's a new show, we'll send you a quick email. We'll tell you what the show's about. You can decide which topics you want to listen to and which ones you don't. Don't worry, we won't share your information with anyone else, and we'll never spam you. I hope this has been a great podcast for everybody. Have a wonderful day. Look forward to talking to you in the future.
You can scream and you can holler. It really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.